Off the Ball, GAA.
The game is much more progressive. It's been much more engaging for people to watch and more entertaining for supporters.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
The Ireland team in Italia 90 did okay as well. Chris, I know you're over this weekend talking about the memories. Hard to believe it's 35 years ago. So like that run to that quarterfinal that year, I'm just looking at the fixture. So you had the draw with England, Sheedy, of course, on the score sheet. The draw with Egypt and the draw with the Dutch, Niall Quinn on the score sheet for Ireland in that game. There's the famous photo of yourself and Ruud Hullett, I think, in that game up against each other. Or no, that was Euro 88.
That was 2 years before.
Yeah, 2 years previous. But then, of course, the Romania game, which I'm fairly sure went to penalties. We do see it on TV the odd time. Baggy Bonner's save and David O'Leary's winning penalty. And then the defeat to Scalacci's Italy in the quarterfinals. But great memories, I'm sure, for you.
No, I mean, wonderful memories. And I think I done a newspaper bit, I think yesterday, day before, which also indicates the squad feeling, because, you know, it wasn't just about playing, because in that Italy 90, even though I'd played in all the games in Euro 88, you know, I didn't play in the games. Mm. So it was really about also the contribution of the squad and making sure that everybody can, even as regards not playing so regular, the ones that were the squad members, it was about contributing to the feel of the group. And what we was always conscious of is back home, what was going on back home, the euphoria in the country. It was our first World Cup. So it was such a huge, huge occasion. And what you had to do is that you had to make the very, very most of it, whatever your circumstances were. And I say there were some that played more games than others, some that wasn't able to contribute on the pitch, but you had to make sure to contribute to the group, because, you know, the whole was certainly bigger than the individual bits. And there were some incredibly good memories from that World Cup, and some that will always live with you.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting what you're saying about the squad, because I've been on the periphery of loads of squads, and it's a big, big plus when a manager can make you feel involved. I mean, the season that Burnley got promoted, I was a fringe player, but Sean Dyche made me feel really, really valuable. On a Monday morning, I'd have played 5 minutes, but I felt like I was a big part of it. Even though physically I wasn't, I felt like a big part of it. And I think that's brilliant management, just keeping everybody involved. And you said yourself, Chris, you didn't play a whole host of minutes at Italia 90, but you felt important, and so did the rest of the squad.
Yeah, but that goes back to man management. Yeah. And that's where, I think that's where Jack was at his best. Certainly as regards the way that we played tactically, Jack determined a way that we could put pressure and play games against opposition that didn't like playing against us. You know, that was probably his biggest strength. But his man management was good. He created a wonderful atmosphere in the group, sometimes quite laid back. But you knew the seriousness of it absolutely at every moment. So I think it's about man management, but also I think as a group, you know, I think what we had, you know, it wasn't an overly young squad. You know, there were a lot of us in the squad that had been involved with the team for quite a few years. So, you know, this would have been the pinnacle. 88 and 90 would have been the pinnacle for, you know, quite a few of us that were in the squad. And, you know, some of us didn't go on to play in too many more tournaments, of course, with the team. So we had to very much make the best of it. So I think it was, one, how Jack made you feel, but two, the spirit that we had in that group was, I know it's international level, so you don't have the day-to-day that you would have at club level. But certainly the spirit that was in that group is as good as I've felt almost as good as I felt, you know, at any level, at any club level.
Coming soon to your Off the Ball podcast feed.
I'm nervous. Police will use tear gas.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
Saying we won after your team's won a football game is like saying I had sex after I'm watching Paul.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things all the way through Latin America.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Available soon for free on the OTB app.
So much of what we want to do can seem impossible, but the highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. It's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon, reimagined for a new generation of explorers and fully equipped for 21st century adventures. 3D surround cameras with ClearSight ground view let you see underneath the vehicle and anticipate obstacles and rough terrain. And ClearSight rear view offers an unobstructed rear view, even when you can't see through the back window. Driver aid technologies make driving and parking simpler, while intuitive driver displays are customizable to your journey. Plus, the next generation Pivi Pro infotainment system helps make more of your world. There's a family of vehicles for Defender too. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
Ronan, Ireland in Italy tomorrow afternoon, 2:15. We spoke to you before the France game last week.
And in rugby.
We're on to rugby, of course. Yeah.
We're not in the San Siro.
No, unfortunately. You said about Sam Prendergast before the game last week on the show, Ronan. It'll be tough. It'll be a little bit faster than he's ever experienced. And, well, it turned out that was exactly the case. It was a tough enough afternoon for Prendergast.
Well, thankfully, I'm on the show for stuff like that. I know a little bit what I'm talking about in that regard. But a lot of people just think it's another game. But hold on, let's stop now and let's break this down a little bit and understand, I suppose, the scenario or the context for a 22-year-old game who's in top-flight games, be it club or country. It's still 20 or 30, if I believe, Shane, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, like, it's a little, it's, you know, like the evolution of a player, it's, you know, I mean, deep down he won't say it, but I can remember maybe I lacked a lot of self-confidence, but like I was kind of at this stage going, oh God, I hope I don't stay on one cap. Mm-hmm. Then like the journey to five caps is, oh, it seems so far. Then like if you kind of, if I can get to 10, this would be a good achievement. And that's the tricks your mind play with you. And that was for me. And not maybe the generation coming along nowadays are different, but I think it was my greatest strength too, because it was the hunger and the drive I needed to keep proving myself from caps 10 to 50. So Sam Prendergast, we know he's a very good rugby player, but what happened in the test match, because of his performance and because of performances around them and because of the flow of energy, Entomac and his group, his double gang of the first half forwards and the second half forwards, got the better of Sam Prendergast. When you're, I suppose, looking for your 10, you're looking for your 10 to control the tempo, to game manage, to put Ireland in the right places. We had chances to play in the right places probably 5 or 6 times, but it was Sam's kick on the edge of the line where they identified space, but the kick didn't really clear the covering defender. It gave him time to catch and launch it back long, which relinquished pressure from Ireland's point of view. But like as I said, these margins are very, very small at test level, but you know, you could see he was an inexperienced game manager and you could see that he wasn't used to the tempo in this game, which is very, very normal if you're stuck in the game.
Yeah, 8 at 1am on Friday mornings, Off the Ball Breakfast, brought to you by Optimum Nutrition. To unlock more, you choose Optimum Nutrition. Myself and Keith Tracy with you this morning. Alan Quinlan is here. Morning, Quinny.
Morning, Shane. More rugby.
More rugby.
Roger's just gone.
We got to keep it going. Yeah, Ronan was very interesting there, talking about the Jack Crowley situation at the end. Like, he was making the point that there seems to be a lot of legs to this story. It's not just maybe rumours or, as we've been saying on the show during the week, contract negotiation, which does come into it, I guess, a little bit. But if you were... if you were advising Jack Crowley at the moment, what would you be telling him to do? Because it's a big decision. And obviously, if he feels he's number two in the pecking order for Ireland, that maybe makes the decision a little bit easier for him. And of course, a lot of money being offered potentially by Leicester Tigers as well.
Yeah, I think it's there's definitely some truth to the rumours, because normally players involved with the Irish squad, whether you're on a national contract or not, because we know, obviously, there's a number of players on national contracts, and then there's a number who are Irish internationals who are not. That number isn't as big, but and then there's provincial contracts. The ones who are on national contracts are kind of seen as the kind of guaranteed starters, and they get X number of caps, and they're at a level where they get rewarded for that. Normally these contracts are done in December. So, in other words, if your contract is up in June next year, that negotiation will probably start November, December, try and tie players down before Christmas, because it's not in the players' benefit or the union's benefit or the province's benefit that it runs into January, February, March.
Yeah.
We're now in March, and he hasn't signed the contract. So I don't think there's any kind of bluffing going on here. I think what happened in November probably... has brought it to this situation where, as you say, if he's, you know, it was a situation where Jack Crowley was obviously dropped, very disappointed with what happened. Kieran Frawley was in the mix as well. So, you know, if he found himself outside the 23 for Ireland, where would that leave him? He's still 25. He's a young player. All these players at that level have an agent that looks after those contracts for them. So I'm sure there's a few clubs were looking at the situation, and from what we believe, they've put an offer forward, Leicester. It's fairly substantial.
To listen to this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.